Great pressure here from the Maple Leafs. Power play. Riley on the left wing side. Top to Marner again. Top of the circle. On to Matthews. Holds a pass in, deflected by Nylander. Over top of the goal. Another chance for Willie. Another shot stop. Tavares scores!
Welcome back to the Leafs cast.
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a while and nothing has happened.
But why are we potting today, Tim? Tell the people why we're potting today.
Well, you see, it's the summertime. In the summertime, it's hot. And the Leafs cast has a long-standing tradition of 1 year. Summer is the time for hot takes from hot dudes.
Oh my, we're actually doing this?
Yeah, we got three hot dudes and we're giving some hot takes.
All right. Well, I didn't sign up for that. I thought we were talking about... Okay, well, okay, I guess we're in it now. That's what we're doing.
Well, the reality is, you know, we're bored. The Jays haven't scored a run in two consecutive games. So I'm out on that team, and I'm back on the original team that gets me out of bed, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. I know, Tim, you're saying that it's summer. My wife just started playing a Halloween playlist yesterday.
Oh, boy, already?
Yeah, so it's essentially October in my house, which means it's essentially the Leaf season.
I mean, we could start talking about the goaltenders if you want to look at what's scary.
Oh, that was slick, Tim. Did you plan that one ahead of time?
I'm almost in mid-season form for my podcasting. I thought I might be rusty, but
very impressive.
What do you guys been up to? We've talked a little bit. Anything world-changing going on that the listeners need to know about? Kind of behind the curtain, you know, anything they need to be aware?
I'm sitting, Tim, in my brand new podcasting chair. That's what's going on with me.
Whoa, where'd you buy that? Where'd you get it?
I think it was just Amazon, so who knows where they got it from.
I'm recording from my basement rather than my bedroom, so I'm less of a hot dude now.
Oh, boy.
I'm recording on David's standing desk, so I'm standing, and he's taken over all of my podcasting stuff, so now I have to ask him to be able to podcast in my own house. That's where we're at.
You have the LED lights going?
I do. He's got his, like... It's the whole thing. I could get a high quality stream going on. I won't.
All right.
But I could get a high quality stream.
Where's the Leafs cast, Leafs talk only button?
Leafs talk only. I don't even remember because it's been that long. All right. Which button is it?
We have a ridiculous amount of content to get through here, so we better hurry up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
It's Leafs talk only.
Thanks, Optimus.
All right.
Hot takes. Right. Hot dudes. There's been some Leaf stuff going on. I mean, not okay. Well, we were talking about it before we potted. The fact that there hasn't been things going on kind of means that the things that weren't going on before matter even that much more. Namely, Rasmus Sandin, Maple Leafs up and coming young defenseman, still doesn't have a contract.
And here we thought that we were done with these restricted free agent holdouts after Marner and Nylander. But no, he's, I don't even know who his agent is, but he's clearly taken notes. Training camp starts in like, what, 2 weeks? I think 2 weeks training camp starts. And we have heard of zero progress being made for Rasmus Sandin, who's like one of a promising young defensemen. Unfortunately, he's been stuck behind a log jam on the left side of our defense for the past, I don't know, 3 years. It feels like his whole career, he hasn't been able to grab hold of a spot. And we keep Dubas keep bringing in left-handed defensemen, so they're at a stalemate.
Yeah, everything I've heard, and I mean it's not much, but that there's been no talks, and this isn't that uncommon to the Jack Campbell situation. Now that I think about it, where it was just like, you know, the sides were apart, and then Dubas is just like giving them the silent treatment. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that Dubas's strategy here that Sandin came back, maybe he saw what Timothy Liljegren was going to make, said I deserve more than that, even though they're buddies, which is probably like kind of like a weird dynamic, right? Like they're both playing in the NHL, you know, kind of rookies, and he's like, I'm better than you. That's what I'm assuming it is.
Like Matthew and Marner, pay me like Matthews.
Yeah, and there's totally a case to say that Rasmus Sandin should make more, but not that much, right? And so it's just interesting that, yeah, we're getting very close to the start of the regular season. Right now, from like a roster standpoint, like the Maple Leafs can play hockey games this season without him. So he doesn't have a ton of leverage, but I guess that's what I'm saying. Like that's the Maple Leaf side of it. If you're Rasmus Sandin, I guess you're just trying to secure that early bag. I don't know. I'm not sure what leg he thinks he has to stand on that he should be able to command, you know, more than the 1.4 that Timothy Liljegren got.
It's kind of hard. I mean, like, obviously he is gambling that the Leafs need him and that he's that he has more to give. I do get where he's coming from, though. It's got to be frustrating for him because he doesn't feel like he has had the opportunity to strut his stuff. And looking forward, like Giordano has a 2-year deal. Muzzin has 2 years left on his deal. Riley has 8 years left on his deal. So he doesn't even see a future here. All right, hot take number one. The Leafs and Rasmus Sandin would both be better off trading him away.
Wait, that's what you're saying? Like, that's what you think? Or yes. This is just like some random hot take?
Nope. I think that's what I think. I think the Dubas should focus his efforts on packaging him up with Alex Kerfoot, upgrading that top six left winger.
All right, you're wildly wrong. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why, Tim?
Enlighten me.
Have you learned nothing from our players of the past who play here for a couple seasons? The entire world watches them. Then they go to Vancouver or anywhere else and make like $80 more million than they would have if they didn't play for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's going to come here. He's going to play a bit of hockey for the Leafs. Then he's going to become a UFA. He's going to go somewhere else and they're going to way overpay him because that's what teams do to our old players. They just get wildly big contracts. He just needs to suck it up. Take whatever the Leafs are going to give him here, become a UFA, then go make his money and do whatever he wants. Or be a valuable player for our team and sign with us long term. But you don't need to nickel and dime it here when you're on your, like, what, your first RFA deal, your second RFA deal?
The guy's 22.
Yeah, he's so much hockey in front of him. He's going to be so good. He's going to get his money. What is he hoping for? Like an extra $500,000, $250,000? Like, it's completely ridiculous how pity this is right now. And I get it because all the pressure is on Kyle Dubas to win this year. Dubas has not had the track record of being good at negotiating these, so I don't blame him for doing it, but it's ridiculous that it's happening. It's annoying that it's happening. The Leafs absolutely would not be better trading the guy than signing him. Like, what are you gonna get for trade value for RFA Rasmus Sandin that's better than Rasmus Sandin on your team? No way. You're wrong on both counts. Worse for both parties.
Are you saying there's no value to be had from a 22-year-old NHL-ready defenseman?
Not more value than you're going to get just having him on your team. No way. No way.
But
well, these young guys never get fair value when they're traded.
Wait, didn't the Lou just overpay for Romanov?
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know that we were including the Lou Lamoriello clause in this argument where other GMs make stupid decisions. Sorry, let me reevaluate my argument now.
Yeah, are you forgetting that the Islanders and the Coyotes and the Blackhawks, you might be able to get Patrick Kane for him.
There you go. Tim's right. We just got to take advantage of the other idiots in the league.
Sandin and Kerfoot for Kane half retained. We'll throw in a third round pick.
One thing I didn't mention with Sandy when I was saying, like, from his point of view, if right now he's looking at the logjam on the Leafs' left side and he's seeing that, like, or and maybe the Leafs have communicated with this to him that, like, we want you to play on the right side, that might be a no deal for him because he's looking at, like, his long term, right? If he you know, met them halfway and maybe took a little bit less than what he was hoping for, and he's, like, banking on having a couple big seasons, he doesn't see himself having those big seasons playing on the right where he's less comfortable. Right, that could be that could be the reason why, and it's not like the Leafs don't have D prospects that are just getting closer and closer to being able to join the show. Like, I could see a world. I'm kind of siding with Tim here a little bit.
Niemal is getting close.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That I'm saying that they do. So, like, hypothetically, this season, right? We could play well. Like I don't see Rasmus Sandin hopping into the top four, especially not on the left side. So
you're being silly thinking Jake Muzzin is playing 82 games this season, and Giordano's not a young guy either. Like, I could absolutely see Sandin playing top 4 minutes significant top 4 minutes throughout the regular season, and you never know in the playoffs. Like, the amount of progress that a guy like that's going to make just over the course of the regular season, he might be in playoffs. He might be an important piece. Niemela's not playing with us this season. Yes, next season, maybe, more likely the season after that. Down the line, he'll be very important to us. But you can't be thinking, especially if you're Kyle Dubas, let's just like hold off because we'll be better for this 2 seasons from now or 1 season from now. It's this year. It is this year or it's bust, and they better be thinking like that.
Well, but Rye, you're also just assuming that he's going to come in at like the Leafs could be better off without Rasmus Sandin if this isn't like an exorbitant contract that they're going to end up signing Rasmus Sandin to. Like, if it's an extra $1 million more than what the Leafs were expecting to pay in the short term, that can be a big deal for the Leafs, right? Like that, or that will be. So I think unless he comes in at like a Timothy Liljegren type dollar figure for the next couple of years, I'm kind of siding with Tim. I don't love it. I don't love going into the season with Jake Muzzin and Giordano as our kind of main side, you know.
So what you guys are missing is, like, yes, would it be better to have Rasmus Sandin in the press box? Of course, Rasmus Sandin's pretty good. He's better than Victor Mete and Jordy Benn. But you look at other holes in the roster that have yet to be filled, and like, we already know, like, we spent some time, we expect, like, is Kerfoot going to be traded? We know we're missing a top 6 winger to play with John Tavares and William Nylander. Those you don't pick up for free.
We have literally no one. When one of our defensemen gets injured, who are we replacing them with?
Yeah, Jordy Benn. Victor Mete.
Like, really? That's your solution? If someone gets injured in the playoffs, that's your solution? That's your backup plan? You're just setting yourself up to lose.
Well, right now, I'm agreeing with Tim that I think I would rather see a potential forward return for Rasmus Sandin, and it's all assuming who the Leafs can get.
Well, who do you think is this hole? Like, if you were to trade Sandin, and Tim, let's go with your scenario here, where you package him with Kerfoot. What are you getting back for that? What do you think you're going to get back for Sandin and Kerfoot?
Oh, man.
Because I don't think it's as much as you guys think. I don't think you're getting like a top 6 center to replace John Tavares and move him over to the wing, and there's the Leafs' offensive problem solved. I don't think that's happening.
You don't think that you think Dubas going to go into the season with Kerfoot there?
Not necessarily, but I don't think that packaging Sandin is going to all of a sudden get you this miracle forward.
Well, I don't think that line needs a miracle forward. We just know that Kerfoot, he's a little too jack of all trades, master of none to actually like be what that line needs. Like, we've seen enough of him with Tavares and Nylander last year to know like that line is not good enough. Like, is Kerfoot better than Michael Bunting? At some things, but like, Michael Bunting has like a very unique skill set that just works very well with those other lines. We need another Michael Bunting to play with.
Great, JT, they're cheap.
Exactly, but you don't pick them up for free.
Well, you pick Bunting.
I'm a hot dude. Could I make a hot take based on this picking up forwards for free?
Yeah.
All right.
We already got Malkin back.
Here's my prediction. That's a hot dude. The Maple Leafs will get a top 6 winger for free this year out of their development group.
Talk about Nicky Robb.
Either Nicky Robb or big Minnesota Matthew Nyes will be playing in the top 6, or at least on the Maple Leafs, a contributing regular member of the Maple Leafs this season. And maybe that's where the Leafs are coming from by, you know, kind of walking into the season with that as a whole on the roster right now. What do you guys think about that?
I think your Matthew...
This is the year.
I think your Matthew Nyes one is a pretty aggressive take, but I absolutely think Robertson's going to get a shot here, and he's definitely going to get a look at the top 6. He's had it before, and I don't think Keith liked what he saw, so it's kind of up to how that goes as to whether he stays there. But I definitely think that we're gonna take a look at that, because that's what you need. That's your, like you just said, it's your free cheap on the salary cap, possibly impact player that you just bury them defensively or offensively, I guess. Don't give them anything, any responsibility defensively and hope for the best. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think Nyes is in a situation. He's already committed to play the year with whatever college he's at. So he would be similar to Abrazizi last year or Makar a few years ago. He would come in late season, early playoffs, and see if he can make an impact there. And I think that we might see something like that for a game or two. But yes, I agree with Ryan that this is. I mean, I was about to say like a make or break year for Robertson. The kid is still so young. So
he's
it's
not that it's, young. How young? How old is he?
22.
Yeah, that's not like
he's
so
20.
Young.
Oh, 20. 20 years old. Oh. Sandy
is, really
is 22.
Only 20?
He's only 20.
I feel
like
it was 5 years ago that he was playing in Columbus for us.
He's a point per game player in the AHL. Like,
so he should. That's why I'm saying that he should be a contributing member of the Maple Leafs if he's healthy. He's been in our organization for, yeah, like Ryan said, basically 5 years, or at least what it feels like, 3 years in reality. He's going to be there.
Yep.
So then you're maybe not, like, maybe the Leafs aren't stressed about this stuff at all this Sandin and who's playing in the top six, because they think they have it all figured out. Nicky Robb's up there, and we're rolling. He needs to be. He's got to be this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's you are right that he does need to be. I do think this is a, I guess you're right. He is 20 is ridiculously young, but he's just we've been talking about him in the AHL for three straight years now. When is he going to come through? When is he going to come through? When is he going to come through? When is he going to be our player, a solution on our team? I'm ready to see it happen. I think that the window is there this year. Losing Mikheyev, like, yeah, I don't know. I think he has an opening, and I'd like to see it happen.
I don't know. What'll be really interesting to see in training camp is I think this year we see a different look Leafs fourth line. Like no Jason Spezza, may he rest in peace in the Leafs front office. He might still have to fight people in the parking lot. We'll see. But I think I was looking at the list of guys that might be like competing for spots down there, and there's like Joey Anderson's another young guy. He's who we got for Andreas Janssen.
Yeah, I remember that.
He's looked pretty good in the AHL, so he might get a look there. We brought in Gaudette, who's another new guy this year. Dennis Malgin, Obey Kubel. All these guys are like they can move up and down the lineup, but it'll be really interesting to see what that fourth line looks like this year. But I think Nick Robertson has a spot there.
I think you guys are being foolish in thinking that there's not a chance Matthew Nyes is coming up this season.
Maybe
it was and maybe it was
like,
all
is he gonna drop out of college? You think?
Yeah, 100%.
Nah.
What you think he's graduating?
Does that happen? Like, who else has done that? Or is
not mid-season?
Well, I mean, there's tons of guys that are one and done in college. I mean, Caulfield, one and done in college. Turcotte, one and done in college. Oh gosh, the one who they were kind of replacing Kadri with. He didn't graduate. When I was this was a few years ago, there's a big defenseman. He played for the Lightning. He was Russian. Totally blanking on his name. He played
Victor Hedman.
For UNO. No, my gosh. No. Yeah, Russian. Anyway, it was like a month or two into the season, and he signed because like they come to him saying like, hey, you want the money? And he'll say, sure. And if something comes up where Matthew Nyes feels like it's time, let's say he plays for Minnesota. Let's say they suck, right?
They need to watch Moneyball.
But the reason, the reason why he said he was going back, and aside from, or at least what they told us, right? You know, he wants to run it back, right? They were in the Frozen Four last year. They had a shot at winning a title. They lost it. He says, you know, I think we can win it all. I want to come back, mm-hmm. right? And he's in a pretty sweet situation because he's got, you know, millions of dollars coming his way no matter kind of what happens to the Gophers this season. But I think there's a good chance that he comes out and he's ready and it happens before the end of their season. Like it could happen midway through the Maple Leaf season, maybe even earlier than that. He was just at development camp a couple weeks ago and he was looking good. People there said he was like unbelievably strong on the puck.
Yeah, he didn't have a good World Juniors though.
Well, yeah, but he plays for America. America's It's America. Wait.
I think you do have a good point, Steven, in the fact that, like, what if his team is no good? Because I didn't really think of that, but you're right. Like, definitely the reason why he wanted to go back is because his team made it all the way to the end and, like, and lost in the finale. And that gives you the hunger of, like, man, we were so close. I just want to go back one more year. And if his team sucked last year, then he probably wouldn't be going back this year. He would be just signing with the Maple Leafs. And if he sucks, if his team looks like it's out of it early on, yeah, I could see him totally deciding, yeah, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go start my career and get some money and go hang out with Austin Matthews.
And I guess to argue my first point a little bit, like, it is rare, you know, right? The 19-year-old kid that goes straight from college to the pros, mm-hmm. right? Like all the way to the big show. But I could see, I don't know. I feel like I can see it. The guy is massive. He's just massive.
He's definitely has the body to play for. He's a hot dude. Let's go.
I got another hot dude, David Kampf on Instagram. I'll send this to you guys. Posted a picture of him on the beach with his wife. The guy's got like a 10-pack. That's a hot dude.
You see Pierre Engvall in his kayak?
I've been seeing Pierre Engvall for a long time. But go on. Go on.
He's got a neck.
He's ripped. The draft has... Well, oh man,
I gotta figure out this sound.
All right, we're not going right. anymore down this hole.
One other note. I Ryan put me on the spot before asking about who we should target for that left wing spot, and I didn't have a name right, and then we got distracted. But what would you guys think? What would the cost be to get Travis Konecny out of the Flyers? $5.5 million, age 25. Flyers are going nowhere fast. They have a hole in left-handed D.
Here's the thing, though. That's so stupid that we'd be going after Konecny. Thank you. And we have two losers in goal. Like, if you're gonna do these crazy trades and allocate all this money, like, go get a real goalie. I don't even want to have this conversation.
No, Matt Murray is going to be the real goalie half the time.
Sorry, we'll get into that
getting
later.
Excited. Ry, you gotta get excited about the Leafs goalies a little bit here. We're in this. We're all in this together.
Oh boy,
we'll see. I'm thinking we need to like see the Leafs play to really like get excited. Because on paper, there's like we're missing some exciting names.
I like that. I like that idea. I've liked Travis Konecny for a long time. Sometimes I worry about like, even though he's a good player on a bad team, like he's still on a bad team, right? And so is he just like. Maybe doesn't have that kind of sauce because I don't know.
But he's from the 2015 draft year where all stars are born.
Philly's,
when he's a good Ontario boy.
Philly's not really rebuilding though, aren't they? Aren't they like trying, failing, but trying to become like better and good? Like they're trying to bring in some talent. They're not trying to ship it out, are they?
They're floundering. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. See, there's the thing. When you're the NHL, rule one of being an NHL GM is figure out who the bad ones are and phone them all the time. Don't never call Joe Sack in Colorado or Yzerman. Stay away from those guys. But like you find out the bad GMs, and you just keep giving these harebrained proposals. Edmonton should be on speed dial. Flyers guy, Minnesota guy for a while.
I was right. He isn't a good Ontario boy. And when you Google Travis Konecny, the second question is, did Travis Konecny have a baby?
So and
the people of Florida are concerned, and he did. Rhett James Konecny, born August 14th, 2021. Happy birthday, late birthday to Rhett Konecny. That would be kind of fun. Not to like crap on your idea. I have no idea how you can afford that.
No, it's $5.5 million. So like Kerfoot's like 3.5. Justin Hall is 2, and then you're done.
This was in a Kerfoot deal.
Yeah, Kerfoot, Hall, and Sandin.
I would do that 100%. Oh my gosh, you got to get Kerfoot off this team. To me, you got to get Kerfoot off this team.
Yes, was that just the spare parts for your other team stars deal? Yes, it is. But that's what the Leafs fans do.
Well, and the Flyers are going nowhere fast.
Well, and they have a whole like, is Sandin better than Cam York? Absolutely.
I'm curious. This is can we not talk about the Leafs, but the general NHL real quick?
All right, we'll do it.
What do you think about the Calgary Flames moves right now? They just signed Nazem Kadri to a 7x7, and they brought in Jonathan Huberdeau and signed them to a massive deal. Mackenzie Weegar on the roster, going with proven old guys to a team that was already good. What do you think about that?
They had a really tough situation that, to no, I mean, I say to no fault of their own. Their whole team wanted, their best players wanted to leave. And so maybe that is up to a fault of their own, but they kind of got gutted and they had to make the best out of a bad situation. And I think that they did okay. I mean, it's kind of weird. It's still hard to imagine all the trades, like Huberto, really, and Tkachuk over in Florida, and like, I don't know, Kadri. Like, I think that both Huberto and Kadri are not as good as they were last year. So I don't think that they're going to be great. I don't think they're a cup contender like a few other people seem to, but you never know. I mean, they definitely, like, those are guys who have had success before. So maybe I'm wrong and they'll turn the corner and do it again.
Yeah, I agree. I think like they've sacrificed their future to be above average this year. This year, maybe above average next year, but like, looking at their cap sheet, it reminds me a lot of the San Jose Sharks. Like, they gave a 7-year deal to Kadri's turning 31, 32. Huberto will be 30 years old when their $10 million deal kicks in. Their goalie is already 32, signed for 4 more years. And like, Coleman last year, like, he's signed till he's 36. They're just going to it's kind of exciting seeing these blockbusters get pulled off, and they're definitely more competitive this year than if they hadn't made those deals. But,
well, that's where I look at it though and say, like, well, what else were they supposed to do? Tkachuk, like, they had to move Tkachuk, and as soon as another team knows you have to move him, like, you're not going to get great haul for him. So given that, I'd say that, yeah, it was a good trade for them to bring back Huberto. And so I don't know, it's tough to fault them for the moves that they made, but yeah, they just don't look great.
Maybe you could have gotten a younger talent though. I don't know. We'll see. I'm glad though. Yeah, it is hard. Like I part of it, I feel like this is Brad Treliving. Like, he's been the GM there for a while. I'm not sure if he lasts through a whole new rebuild. So I think this is him kind of like, all right, job on the line.
Totally. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's so different than like conventional wisdom, right? It makes you think of the Moneyball thing, right? It's like, what do these guys think they know, right, that everybody else doesn't? Like, are they expecting a new pill to be created in the next 4 years that makes 34-year-old men play like they're 24? I don't know. You know, I wonder though, like all these kind of prospective potential, whatever, Maple Leafs moves really can't be made until they know what they're going to do with Rasmus Sandin. Like, I was just looking at this Maple Leafs defense, and do you think that like they have a move already in place that they would like to make for Justin Hall, but they can't make that move because it kills some of the leverage that they have for not having, or you know, to go into the season without Rasmus Sandin? Like, almost all of this is resting on his shoulders.
I don't think so. I don't think that that would really play a factor. If they move Justin Hall, I don't think Sandy'd be like, oh, you see, now you need me, give me an extra million. Like, I think that if there's a trade out there that Kyle Dubas wants to make, I think he's going to make it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if anything, I think Sandy would be willing to take less money if Hall was traded, because then that's at least like a path for him getting more minutes.
Not really, though, because they play the wrong side. Sandy doesn't want to play the...
I think he just wants to play.
I don't think so. I think if he was willing to play the right side, he'd be signed by now.
So you think he's demanding a trade then?
I don't know. I don't know what he wants.
Who knows? But like, I think the offseason is a little later. Like, usually there's no trades at all this time in August.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kadri signed super late. So there's like some teams still doing stuff that's pretty late. I don't know. I'm still like pretty quite surprised like that Dubas hasn't done anything with Justin Hall or Kerfoot or anyone. Like, I looking at this roster, it seems like there's too much quantity and not enough quality. Like, we're just gonna get wrecked by the waiver claims again if nothing changes.
I agree.
I don't know what you mean too much quantity. Like, how is Justin Hall and Kerfoot too much quantity?
No, I mean, like, we have seven, like, right now we have seven NHL D and, like, 14 or 15 forwards. And like, well, and like even Victor Mete and Jordy Ben, like, were those guys have to pass through waivers if they're not on the, if not, they're not in the press box. So those guys might be taken. Who knows?
I don't know. I think trading Hall or Sandin and not having a replacement is silly. You need, if you're trading them, you're bringing in a new D to replace them.
I got another hot take. I got another one.
Let's hear it.
This is something I've been thinking about a lot this offseason. And it's,
is it related
John
to the
Tavares?
Leafs?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Tim. John Tavares, Maple Leafs captain. Maybe a little bit of a disappointing season last year. Obviously, the Leafs didn't go as far as they wanted to. John Tavares not looking a little bit older. And then you see in also in the division a player like Steven Stamkos drafted a year earlier than him having a career year.
Yep.
John Tavares recently said that he's feeling healthy, the most healthy he has since the head injury 2 playoffs ago. Seems crazy to think that like he's this kind of thing is still affecting him, but well, I guess it makes sense. I mean, it was a concussion. Bounce back season for John Tavares, an angry John Tavares who came to Toronto to win. And he hasn't yet. And I got a good feeling about John Tavares this season. He's going to shut Ryan up, telling him to put him on the wing. And he's going to shut everybody up. What do you think?
You want to go, Tim?
Yep. I wouldn't bet against John Tavares this year. What scares me, though, is what we saw from Jake Muzzin last year. It's like, ooh, Father Time is undefeated. So, but I love John Tavares, so I can't say a bad thing about the guy. So I don't think he'll be scoring 47 goals and setting career highs, but I think Kyle Dubas will find another solution for the wing, and I think that line is going to gel because John Tavares is great, and William Nylander always great.
if I were to,
that was a joke. William Nylander is definitely not always great.
Tim, we're not getting your jokes these days.
Clearly not.
If I were to put faith in someone, it would be someone like John Tavares. Like, he's exactly the kind of player that as time goes, he's going to find a way to retool his game and figure out a way to make it work. He's never really been the fastest and that's the thing that goes the most. So like, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it's a resurgence of John Tavares this year and he's great. All the same, it might be a little bit of wishful thinking. It's been a decline over the last couple years. It's shown also over the last couple years that him and Willie, I don't know, you could blame it on the third pair, like, you know, the Kerfoot or Mikheyev or whoever that third person is. But at the end of the day, they haven't been great together. I'm not sure if Keith is going to split up Matthews and Marner when they're literally the best duo in hockey. So it might be wishful thinking. It's definitely hopeful thinking, and I'm there hopeful with you. If I had to put money on it, though, I would say it's closer to the same of what we saw last year. An average second-line center instead of an $11 million second-line center.
You know what's crazy? John Tavares is the same age as Nazem Kadri. Could you? And here we are talking about John Tavares potentially taking a step back and like, oh, time has come for him. They just gave Nazem Kadri 7-year deal.
Yeah, but Tim, that was a dumb deal. That's what we're saying. Like, that's why you don't do that for guys like that. Especially Kadri, who's had one great season his whole career, a couple other good seasons, and that's it. Like, it's a silly deal. Silly.
But somebody was going to do that. Like, it's a dumb deal, I feel like, probably for the Flames. Now, if it was a team that didn't have as many old players, maybe it's a less dumb deal. Like, you got to make some of those kinds of deals. He was going to get that money from somewhere. And I think at the beginning of the offseason, he was obviously looking for a lot more, probably more like $9 million. Mm-hmm. I guess the game is all just setting yourself up so you don't have to make that deal, yeah. Right? Like as a GM, right? You are totally right, though, right? That like when we're, you know, maybe crapping on John Tavares in, you know, mid-November this year for a couple of bad games, you know, he's only making $4 million more than Nazem Kadri, and I'd definitely take John Tavares over Nazem Kadri.
Yep, agree.
All right, we need more hot takes. A couple of hot guys on the pod, hot takes.
One more good one to end on.
Oh, man.
I didn't have it. I didn't know we were doing hot takes. This is on you guys. You got to think of one.
Okay, I got one. I got
one. All right.
Unless Tim, you had a really good one. It's not super spicy.
Let's hear yours first, and then I'll see if I can one-up it. I'm good at one-upping your takes.
Okay, well, mine is that the Maple Leafs will sign Sonny Milano.
Is he still looking for a contract?
He's still looking for a job.
Okay.
Right?
I take Sonny Milano.
I don't know why they haven't. I guess it's because of the just the current cap situation. The guy is still a free agent. He's 26. Not a great defensive player, but who is? He had a bad... he had a great season offensively last year, though, and it's a little bit shocking that the Ducks didn't bring him back. And so I guess, I don't know, maybe it's telling that no one else has offered him the contract yet either, but I feel like if he's looking for a spot to soar offensively, it's on the Maple Leafs. He's a guy with top six potential for sure.
Well, it makes you wonder what he's looking for. Like, the fact that he's not signed yet makes me think he wants more, and if no other team is willing to give it to him, the Leafs are hardly in the position to say, yeah, we'll give you that bit of extra sweetener to bring you in. Like, if we're bringing him in, it's because we're trading Kerfoot purely for a cap dump, then we're bringing him in. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So, I don't know. It'd be nice. I don't think we're the suitor. It's like the same as Kadri. It's just like, you need some other team who's willing to pay the big bucks to bring in a guy like that. Not the big bucks of Kadri, but bigger bucks than we're going to be able to offer him, even if we want to.
Maybe it's because we haven't had a normal offseason in a while, but I'm like having a hard time remembering the last, like, you know, late offseason deals and stuff like that that have happened, right? I feel like maybe it's just because it's been a couple weird offseasons, but like these kind of things don't happen. Like, I'm having a hard time imagining that a team now, right, is going to be like, all right, now's time, let's jump on Kerfoot.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, that's the thing. Well, so maybe this is it, that we just hold on with this. It's not perfect. Fix it at the deadline. You know, like, this is the year that I think we're going to be doing what we saw the other Atlantic teams doing, of trading multiple first round picks and the prospects and like go all in, get the best players. We didn't do that last year. We didn't do it the year before. We traded, I guess, our first round pick for Foligno, but that was more of a bolstering. But now I think this is the one where you're going to be trading to get that second pair D, like lockdown D, to get the second line winger, to get like that. This is the year that we're going to be going for it. So maybe we just hold our cards until then.
We'll see. I think Dubas is too responsible with his assets to like go all out. Granted, I think the Foligno deal still haunts him at night with how like we got absolutely nothing for that first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
That being said, we do have like our first round picks for the next 3 years. We don't have a second rounder this year. We do have a second rounder next year. We do have a couple third rounds, a fifth and a sixth. So we do have like last year we had like no draft picks at all. So I do agree that I think we do see more. I haven't looked at the list of who's come up a free agent next year, but there's probably deals to be had.
Nate McKinnon, a good Toronto boy, a Burlington boy, I think.
Well,
bring him on home.
Oh man, you know, is this the year Nate McKinnon breaks 100 points?
He hasn't done that yet.
No way.
Nazem Kadri broke 100 points.
All right, looks like McKinnon's getting less money than Nazem Kadri.
Done deal.
I'll bring him in for less than $7 million. Yeah, come on. Cool, man. All
right, well, that was good. You know, it scratched the itch, and hopefully now in the next couple of weeks, some real Toronto news is going to be happening so we could stop all the speculation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch for the emergency pod when Dubas wakes up and does something.
Oh, boy.
It's already autumn, boys. October is here. The Halloween music's playing. The Maple Leafs hockey night in Canada. I'm excited.
I'm ready for it.
We'll probably hop on to a pod during like training camp or something like that. And
well, it's once we get a good look at the roster, like hopefully another deal gets done and we really get a feel for what this team looks like. Yeah, we're going to be ready to hit the ground running here.
Love it. All right. Signing off. Hot dudes, signing off.
I can't believe we did this as a podcast again. Hot things from hot dudes. You guys are too much.
Catch you later.